Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with two very good friends of mine and two people who inspire me very much, Greg and Stephanie Schlieder, who lead a ministry really for families. And it's called Mass Impact, and it's having a genuine impact on lots of people and lots of families. And they're one sign of the Lord's solution to the great spiritual battle over the family today. And that's why I'm so eager to have them, because God's used them so profoundly. But welcome back, you guys.
Wow, thank you.
Thanks,
Peter.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. Did I get that right, Mass Impact?
You absolutely did. And in fact, people can go to ilovemyfamily.us to find out more. Is it okay that I plug that?
Plug it again.
All right, good.
What is it?
I love my family. It's a little difficult to remember. Okay. ilovemyfamily.us.
Okay, very good. Okay. But before we get to talking about the ministry work you're engaged in and what you're seeing, which I think is really important, I do want to hear how you two met each other. Now, friends, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, it was on Monday, they joined us for the first time and told their own personal stories, which are really touching and really amazing. So I encourage you, if you'd like to hear them, just go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the programs right there or download them, put them on whatever device you would like to use, or just get our app, you know, and listen to the podcast. So, Renewal Ministries app.
Listen
to the podcast.
Go there.
So, we started with Stephanie yesterday, Greg. Let's start with you today.
Okay, so quick background. At the time, I had graduated from Miami University of Ohio. I left, decided to defer law school, was very moved by the pro-life movement in a profound way. Father Mike Scanlon, what they were doing there, very touching to me. Of course, Fifth and 14th Amendment stuff was where I was called, thought I was called to be. Literally, while taking my LSAT, the Holy Spirit said, trust me, follow me, I got a different path for you. And it led me really through a journey of following Christ, working for Human Life International, through that Medjugorje, a very powerful encounter of God making himself known. All the more public revelation is what really touched me, this relationship with Mary. Steubenville for a short season of leading evangelization events throughout the country, and actually preceding Marcus Grodi for Light and Life Foundation. And following that period of time, Father Benedict Rochelle asked me to come and spend some time with him and discover my vocation a little more. So I was blessed to spend a year with Father Benedict Rochelle as my spiritual director. I left it all behind. At the time, prior to that, I was living with Tim Gray and Ted Sree, just a blessed time of growing together with those brothers in Christ. So I'm now with Father Benedict and discerned that I wasn't meant to do that. So then Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, again, thinking maybe I had a call to the priesthood. So a profound time. And Mount 2000 was a big experience. I couldn't stay away from ministry too long. So brought this Mount 2000 event there, this annual Eucharistic event that draws 1,500 kids every year, which has been going now for over 20 years. So it was during that period of time, 3 years now, 3.5 years of discerning the priesthood, where theology of the body spoke to my inmost soul. Love the priesthood, love our faith, but I discovered my nature, which is the beauty of John Paul II's writing, that subjective, ordered by the objective, for the nerdy out there who are listening. But I saw myself as a husband and father and called to be an icon and instrument of the Trinity. That's really key. It really struck me, made sense of my world and my life. So left the seminary and continued in Erie, PA to accept the job. This is where my wife kicks in. Accepted a job leading this really chastity evangelization program, Picture Net Ministries, with a theology of the body approach. I'd founded this years earlier, and it had continued in the Erie Diocese, and I resumed a directorship of this in the Diocese of Erie to continue forming these teams to evangelize their peers. Cue my beautiful wife.
Yeah. So the girl version. No.
Yeah.
So while Greg was doing all of that, I was finishing up my college education at Gannon University in Erie, PA, and my dream of being a teacher just felt very called in the classroom to minister to souls in that way. And so Greg had mentioned this Heart and Soul Ministries. While I was teaching, I was also helping Father Larry Richards, a name familiar, I'm sure, to many listeners, with a youth group there at our parish. And he was taking a group of kids to this retreat that Greg was involved in that I had not met him yet. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first encounter with Greg Schlieder and different people saying, oh, you have to meet him, you have to meet him. And so when we were introduced, that brief moment, that brief day, I got the very quick, nice to meet you. And he turned very quickly and, you know, was just fully engrossed, beautifully so, with all these kids.
He's
so,
a pretty focused, intense human
being.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, Greg just shared what he went off to this Heart and Soul Ministries continued with a group out of Franciscan University of Steubenville as Greg was off with Father Grischel and then seminary and such. And for whatever reasons, they pulled out of a retreat that was in our diocese last minute, you know. And so the director of the NFP office there, Barb Burkett, shout out to dear Barb, a very good holy woman, she and her husband Ed, she called me and she said, "Steph, I need a retreat pulled together. Can you get a team and can you guys do this? Because there's over 120 kids and we have to fulfill this." I'm like, "What?" Yeah. So kind of like that, okay, Lord, totally trusting. So fast forward, it was amazing what the Lord did that day with Bethlehem and then some. And then it continued. And the demand was becoming so great for these chastity retreats of the pull-together teams that we decided we needed to write a grant to fund a full-time position. And I made it clear to Barb that I would help in any and every way that I could, but my heart and calling was very much in the classroom, and that was where, you know, I felt that the Lord wanted me to be. So we wrote this grant, and in came Greg Schlieder to fulfill this position.
Oh, I see.
So
okay.
I joke that not many women can say they wrote a grant for their husbands. So that is where we officially met then and got to know each other. Just to clear the record, I did not know him at all or have any contact with
him
while he was in seminary. So it was a reintroduction of sorts. And for me personally, in my spiritual direction, I was very open to religious life and where the Lord was calling me. And and in my personal prayer, just felt so much love, but the Lord was wanting me to focus it, you know, more directly onto something. And I wasn't sure what that was. And so I had kind of made this, not agreement, but just kind of declaration that, you know, wasn't going to fall for this good Catholic guy that everyone was talking about and, you know, just was heading in a little bit of a different direction. Well, that lasted about 10 minutes after meeting Greg. And he had zero interest in me, just, you know, I'm going to say that straight up on air.
Yeah. Yes. Brotherly interest.
So I fell hard and quickly, and he was very much loving and protecting of my heart and spirit. So our friendship grew very quickly and very deeply, and especially when you're doing ministry together and you're a little bit older, that can happen, you know, in a beautiful, grace-filled way.
Sure.
So we continued. We did ministry events all the time together through Heart and Soul and some other things, and again, grew in that way, and then started dating 6 months later.
Let me pause you a second. So for me, Peter, and for any who are listening, I was very type A. You know, I had the Catholic compass. I wanted godly attributes in a wife. I knew I was called to marriage. But it wasn't until I sort of said, like, that you see the triangle, God is love, God is life, and to pursue him with my whole heart and let him bring to me whomever that person may be. So it was a little bit of that focusing on him in our ministry, not thinking that she was the one, and actually resisting it as emotions tried to emerge and said, want God. So it's not enough just to be attracted spiritually, personality, or physically. Those are not sufficient conditions for a spouse.
They matter, but they're not.
They're very important. They're essential, absolutely. But, you know, just there takes an additional quality of anointing, and to know that I knew at that point, old enough to know that God, you know, I need to know that this is your design. So when there was an awakening.
Is that what you mean by anointing? Like, our listeners may not know what you mean. It said, has to have the anointing.
You're the anointing. It's just the sense that God is saying, this is the one I have appointed to you. So it wasn't just these three qualities that are essential. It was that additional quality. Point is that in the midst of that, when that awakening took place, it was initially a sense of, wow, this beautiful person. And I would tell her all along, I'd say, you'll make a great wife for somebody else. You know, definitely saw the beauty in brother and sisterhood or whatever. But when there was that awakening to see that quality, it was, God, you've appointed this. It isn't just my pursuit, my passions, my subjective qualities, as good as they may be. And it was really magnificent. It was really June 21st that roughly around that time we began dating, and a year later we were married. And it was from the very beginning, people who make Crucio, Chirp, Tech, name the retreat, Life in the Spirit, we inherited the sense that that is the vision that we want for our marriage and our family. We are called to be instruments and icons of the Trinity. These teams that we're forming is our vision, God's vision for us as a married couple and our family. We are called to mutual self-giving love, to make the Trinity known. And we thought, is there any greater need today in the world today than to make God, who is love, known by mutual self-giving love? So in that order of God first, and this is important, spouse second, the family overflows from that. And when you get that in order, how can you not, like the Trinity, overflow to the world? How can you not love and seek others to know that love and be drawn into that love? Mm-hmm. So that was really the vision that God, I think, really blessed us with in leading these retreats and working together, and was woven into our vision of marriage.
And were you in Erie at the time? Were you,
yes.
And you continued to do these retreats and missions together, and then...
Correct. So yeah. At that time, Greg was then appointed by the bishop as director of youth ministry, the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry. And so I took over that directorship, if you will, of Heart and Soul. For a little
less
than a year.
A wee bit of time, because we got pregnant a month after.
Yes. So we continued with that, and Greg mentioned forming the teams. That was really a gift on so many levels and a foreshadowing, if you will, of family life for us. And so we had these, they varied in size from, 10 to 20-something, depending upon the season, of high school kids and some college kids, and just to really meet with them and form them and grow together in virtue and grace and prayer. And as important as the retreats and other things that we were doing with them were, it really came down to forming them and seeing them as a gift from God and these souls entrusted to us in that way. And so, and then as we were blessed with children, that just kind of grew and very natural. We were blessed on, I think, our first team, Justin Fatica, which again, some of our listeners may know, hard
our
as nails.
Our first date, he crashed it.
He did crash our first date.
Sister Nicole, whatever her...
But just, and the importance of, liturgy of the hours and praying, with sincere personal relationship from the heart to Christ, along with the many treasures that we are blessed with as Catholics in the church.
Yeah, as you mentioned, one of the best ways to mentor or disciple, and the most effective way, is on mission. So you have these young people, 10 to 20 young people, who I assume they were helping with teachings or small groups and all that sort of thing. Is that part of what they were doing?
All
giving testimonies and music and
absolutely.
All that kind of thing. So they had a mission. And when you have a mission, it's out there in front of you, you haven't done it, you don't know how to do it, you're ready to listen. Help me get good at this, And then as a mentor and as a discipler, you're able to say, okay, let's build the foundation, here's the tasks, so let's build the foundation underneath it all, which is relationship with Christ and virtue and character development and all that sort of thing. So they tend to be eager when they're on mission. I think that's something for the whole church to recognize up and down the line of how do we activate... how do you get more buy-in from parishioners? How do you get people to live more radically for the Lord? To really help them get there, they have to be discipled. And to disciple them, you have to be discipled toward a goal. And holiness and mission are goals for sure, right? But when you have a mission, they're eager to listen and to get the help that they need.
That is so absolutely key. And I'll say we discovered and knew and applied this idea of Christ attending mostly to the 12.
Yeah.
And churches can get this wrong. Institutions can get this wrong. Throw the net far and wide. Absolutely. Open the doors. Invite others. But the attentive focus has to be those that God has brought to you on a closest level and to journey with them deeper in an encounter with Christ.
Wonderful. Tomorrow it'd be great if we could talk a little bit about your kids and your family as well, because I'm just so impressed with your children and the family that you guys have had and how open your home is and how many people have been touched by your family, which is really, really great and inspiring and I think would be a great source of encouragement for people listening. So friends, I hope you can tune in. We're also going to talk about the nature of the ministry that they're involved in. So if you want to know more about it, you can go to ilovemyfamily.us.
Fabulous. Yes. You nailed it.
Yeah, ilovemyfamily.us. So God bless you, friends. Have a great day. Hope you can join us tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.